wrote the song different a few years ago, but I feel like the Lord is teaching it to me in a whole new way right now. A few months ago, we found out that my grandmother has blood cancer. And as hard as it's been to watch her lose her hair as she takes her treatments, her faith has remained intact. A few weeks later, Hurricane Harvey came from my hometown and in 2 days poured 44 inches of rain on my house. As we're in the process of replacing flooring and releveling our foundation, we keep waiting on things to get back to normal. And then, just a few weeks ago, we found out that my little brother Daniel has stage 4 colon cancer. After the shock and the tears, my family is preparing to fight by his side as he gets ready to start chemo. And in the midst of all this, the prayer that I kept saying was, Jesus, can you just change these things? Can you stop the cancer? Can you stop the storms? But he's chosen not to stop these things just yet. And I'm finding out that sometimes the best question is not, Jesus, can you change these things around me? But instead, God, can you change me so that I can handle the things that you're walking me through? So I keep singing and praying and believing the words of this song because I know that he is changing me. And that is making all the difference.
Me to listen. I don't want to see anymore. Give me a vision that you could move this heart to be set apart. I don't need to recognize the man in the mirror, cause I don't want to trade your plans for something familiar. I can't waste a day, I can't stay the same. I wanna be different. I wanna be changed till all of me is gone and all that remains is a fire so bright the whole world can see. But there's something different, so come and be different. In a pattern, and I don't want to gain this world but lose what matters. And so I'm giving up everything because I want to be different. I want to be changed till all of me is gone and all that remains is a fire so something different, so come and be different. Oh, I know that I am far from perfect, but through you the cross still says I'm worth it. So take this beating in my heart and come and finish what you've started. When they see me, let them see you, cause I just wanna be.
Well, if you're here and a part of the Bridge family, and you were here last week, you no doubt recognize that song because it was a part of last week's message. I want to welcome you back to the Bridge and to our series entitled Miraculous Metamorphosis. And let me just tell you, in the last 4 minutes, my world was rocked. While that video was playing, I just processed this whole sermon, our whole time together. I was just asked if we could pray because a friend has died. Another young person lost. And I had to explain that it's too late to pray for your friend. He's gone. It's too late. But we can pray for the family and the friends. I want to ask you, do you want to be different? It's the essence of that song. I want to be different. I want to change. Today's message and our time in God's Word is really like a second half to last week. Last week when we saw it's only the Holy Spirit, only the miracle and the work of God's grace that can change us. And I pray, like me, you're reminded right now of how desperately urgent it is that people are changed. And as I said to you last week, it requires a change from going from lost to found, from spiritually dead to spiritually alive, or else there is a very real hell awaiting those who die that are not ready. And there is a very real call on the lives of every Christian to be changed. If you've been changed from dead to alive, you've been changed from being complacent to being commissioned to go and be a disciple who makes disciples who makes disciples. To think of the pain when it's personal. I said to you last week, and I used God's word to show it to you, that it's only the Holy Spirit that can change us vertically. That's when you are saved. That's when you become justified. It's only the Holy Spirit that can change us horizontally. This is when we're being sanctified and unified as the family of God. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can change us and unify us missionally and send us out to a dark and dying world. And at the risk of building a very large foundation for today's message, I want to revisit some of those passages so that you know it's the Word of God. You're not hearing a preacher's perspective. You're not getting some church's way of looking at things. This is God's Word. The Holy Spirit supernaturally changes and unifies us vertically. This is when you are saved. It's in John 14:15-16 where God's Word says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper," capital H, the Holy Spirit, "and he will be with you forever." You die with the Holy Spirit in you, and he's with you forever. This is the good news. If you are in Christ, you are in Christ forever. If the Holy Spirit is in you, he is in you forever. This is the unifying vertical work of the Holy Spirit. And we know that this is an important issue because Paul asked the disciples of John the Baptist, the man that Jesus said was the greatest walk in the earth. Paul says, "Hey, by the way, when you believed, did you receive the Holy Spirit?" And they said, "No, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit." So don't you be afraid to ask. Don't you be afraid to press in to the issue and the role and the need and necessity of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:3-5 showed us that there is the signature of this supernatural, spirit-empowered unification vertically, the true koinonia with the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:3-5 says, "By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar." Not my words. I can't erase that out of the Bible for you. "By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Who? The one who does not keep the Lord's commandments. "But, praise God, whoever keeps his word in him," the one who keeps the word of God, "in him, the love of God has truly been perfected." Amen. That's the power and the work and the promise and the purpose, by the way, of the Holy Spirit. Now, we see this supernatural unification and change through the Holy Spirit horizontally as we become the church. It's 1 Corinthians 12:13 that says, "For we were all the true biblical Christians, we were all baptized by one Holy Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the same one Spirit to drink." Now, here again, God in His Word give us the opportunity to see the difference, to discern the difference. It's in Romans 8. I told you what John Piper says is probably the greatest chapter in all the Bible, perhaps the most encouraging in all the Bible. It's in Romans 8, verses 5, 6, and 11, that God says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." So those that are living for the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. What's the flesh? It's the world. What do you want? You want the world? Then your mind is on the flesh. We need to be changed. We need to get to the place where our mind is on worship, not on the world. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." How do you know who's in the Spirit? Well, I don't know for sure, but one of the things that you'll see is the fruit of their lives being focused on the Spirit, wanting to be what the Spirit would have us to be. "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." Verse 11, "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Again, see the both and. God does not pull any punches when it comes to clarity and Christ-likeness. And He's not holding back any of the incredible promises of grace. He wants you and me to be clear. He wants us to understand. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, again, part of the horizontal work of the Holy Spirit, we each as Christians, if you are a biblical Christian, you receive at least one gift from the Holy Spirit, one thing to contribute to the building of His kingdom. It's in 1 Corinthians 12:7 that says, "To each Christian is given the manifestation or gift of the Spirit for the common good." Whatever you've been given is for the glory of God through its application to the common good. Common amongst whom? Amongst the kingdom. The present tense or the ones yet to be? Yes. Yes. This is at the heart of the Great Commission. And it's in Ephesians 4, the opening six verses, where we see Paul describing himself as a prisoner for the Lord, who's urging all to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. One translation says, to zealously protect the unity of the body. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You hear that? One, 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 all, 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 all. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And I ask you, do you want to be different? Is this who you want to be? This is the call. This is what Christ died to empower with you and me. This is what the Spirit is in us to make happen. At the end of Acts 2, just a couple of pieces from verse 42 and 47. "And they," the Christians, the new church, "they devoted themselves." They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to truth, and the fellowship, koinonia, in love, to the breaking of bread, that's mealtime and communion, and to prayer. And to prayer. Verse 47, "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved." It's the Lord's work to do the miraculous. It's our place to celebrate it by being. Now, I said to you that not only does the Holy Spirit unite us vertically, that's being justified, unites us horizontally, that's being sanctified, but he unites us missionally, and this is how we are multiplied. And we see this in what we know as the Great Commission. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. It's the verse upon which our church was built. And you will be my witnesses. I ask you, do you want to be a witness? Do you want to be a witness? We desperately need to be witnesses. There are people that need. They're on the doorstep of eternity. Some know it and some don't. They desperately need people who desperately want to be different. That's our place. We are plan A and there is no plan B. The word witness is used 29 times in the book of Acts. And that's the word from which we get our English word martyr. Do you want to be a martyr? Do you want to be a witness? Jesus said, it's going to be better for you. This is John 16, verse 7 and 8. It's going to be better for you that I go to heaven so that the Holy Spirit comes. He's going to do the convicting and you're going to do the witnessing. And I ask us, is that what we want? Is that what we want? Do we want to be different? Do we want to be a witness? Do we want to be the Beatitudes? That's dramatic contrast to culture. You see, when we are being poor in spirit, we're a witness. When we are mourning our sin, when we are being meek, when we literally hunger and thirst for righteousness, that's being a witness. That's being who Christ has called us to be. When we're merciful, pure in heart, peacemaking, and being persecuted for the word, that gets at the heart of where we're going to go this morning. And I know this is a big foundation, but if you and I don't understand the role of the Holy Spirit and that he is given to us, Christ died and then went and ascended into heaven to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, so that you and I could be united supernaturally vertically, united supernaturally horizontally, and united supernaturally missionally. And I ask you, is this what you want? For you see, it's in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 that we're told we've been saved by grace through faith, not of works. So this is not a call to any kind of work salvation. It's a call to appreciation. For you see, it also says in verse 10 that we're the workmanship of the Lord. And while we're not saved by our good works, it says in God's word we're saved for good works. This is why you and I have the Holy Spirit in us. The vertical is set up for the horizontal for the express purpose of the missional to the glory of God. Okay? So that brings us to today. You say, Pastor Jeff, that's a long introduction. So where do we go from here? I want to share a few more questions with you and then come to the scriptures to help answer them. And I pray you and I will receive the information, the inspection, and the inspiration, I pray. So here's my question. How much do you want to change? 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 You see what happens with the inflection? Same question. But I want to walk through that question with you on five different planes. It all keys in on the word much. How much do you want to change? You see, that question can be asked in terms of the intensity. How intensely do you want to change? How badly do you want to change? It can also be looked at internally, intrinsically. How much do you want to change? How much of you do you want to change? It can also be asked structurally. How much do you want to change the way things are done? How much are you willing to change the way things are done? Fourthly, you can ask that question externally. How much do you want to change the ways of the world, the culture around you and me? Those things that are outside your physical person but affect you. How much do you want to change the externals of this world? And then lastly, how much do you want to change missionally? How much do you want to change missionally from the inside out and from the outside in? I want to walk through that with you. And I want to remind you that our purpose as Christians is to bring God glory by loving him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving others as ourselves. That is the essence of the Great Commandments and the Great Commission. And so, when you think of yourself personally, do you embrace this desire? Do you want to change? How much do you want to change? Why would you want to change? And we'll walk briefly through these five perspectives. Let me share with you what the Disciples' Path writers tell us in regards to this question and the early church. They say, and I quote, "The early church was filled with Christ followers who lived contrary to the social norms. They chose to invite, invest, and include those who looked and or lived differently than themselves. All that mattered was a common commitment to have Christ as Lord. When we recognize the gospel's potential for touching every life, it will change how we too approach disciple making in our own context and communities," end quote. So with that understood, let me share with you the text. And here again is my question. How much do you want to change? How much do you want to change? Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19 through 23. And let me tell you the context here. Chapters 8, 9, and 10, the whole body of those three chapters focuses on two things. Paul telling the Corinthians that we ought to be the kind of believers who lay down our rights for the purpose of righteousness. That we should lay down our rights that others might get to know the Redeemer. And secondarily, he was defending himself against those who were attacking his credibility as an apostle and as a leader. Here's what God's word says. My question to you and then God's word, how much do you want to change? "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. So though I am free from all, I have made myself a slave to all." I want to ask you, how much do you want to change? Anybody here saying, "I want to change from free to enslaved so that I may win more"? Now, here's the context of my question. Either we write Paul off as a wacko and this preacher is being over the top, or we take God's word here and we say, well, is this for me? While you think about that, let me tell you the next few verses, because Paul now gives some clarification. He says, "To the Jews, I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, I became as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, I became as one without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak." Now, I don't want to walk through that at a pace that'll consume our time this morning. Let me just tell you, what Paul is saying is, I never changed the message, but I changed the methodology so that I could meet people where they were in their spiritual need. So what do we do with that? Never change the message, but be fluid and change your methodology. So if you're meeting with the Jews, you can get into their world and speak to them eye to eye. I think of this with children. My wife taught me this with our children. Early on, she would speak to our little ones and she would get down on one knee and talk to them eye to eye. And I wondered early on, why does she have such a better rapport as I would talk down? And she was taking this principle to heart. You meet people where they are in their context, so long as the scriptures allow that to be so. And that's what Paul's saying, is listen, I didn't go back to Judaism. I didn't go back and take all of the standards that I know the gospel set me free from, but I met them where they were, and I went to where we could connect without me compromising the scriptures. This is why we go. We go to all. We go to the young. We go to the old. We go to the fat. We go to the skinny. We go to the rich. We go to the poor. We go to the ones close and we go to the ones far away. But here's what Paul then says. I have become all things to all men so that I may by all means save some. So, Paul, I'm free from all. He's a Roman citizen. He's a geopolitical free man. But he's been freed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet he chooses to make himself a slave to all. What's up with this guy? And what's that mean for you and me? In fact, he says in verse 22, I made myself all things. I become all things to all men so that by all means I might win some. It's the essence of our time together today. What do you do with that? And am I over the top, out of line, dismissing grace, somehow off base by bringing it to you and me? And I say to you, no. This is at the very heart of why you and I have the Holy Spirit in us. This is the purpose of God, that you and I would be his witness, that you and I would go and make disciples, that you and I would love one another in such a way that it would arrest the attention of the world, and that it would witness to Christ. That's what Paul's doing. I ask you again, how much do you want to change? How much, like Paul, do you want to change intensely? I mean, maybe you're like one that I used to be. Hey, listen, I'm pretty good. If you knew who I used to be and you saw who I am now, you'd think, wow, this guy's come a long way. You're good. You're fine. Basically a good person. You don't need a whole lot of change. Maybe every once in a while I'll come for a Sunday cleanup. But look, all in all, especially if you look out there at all those people, don't go getting crazy radical with me, preacher, about how much I need to change. I'm not that bad. Oh, friend, I pray to God the Holy Spirit would awake you and draw you and me to the reality that we are wretches. And if not for the grace and the presence and the power of Almighty God in us, you and I are capable of unthinkable things. Unthinkable things. We desperately need to be changed, and it's not a one-and-done deal. When you are saved and justified, yes, you become a child of God. But you and I need to be gospeled every single day. We need to be changed constantly. I don't know if you're like me, but I find this to be a powerful paradox. Every step closer I take to the Lord, the greater the distance I realize there is between us. I literally get closer to him, and I thank him for it. It's all of grace. I receive unbelievable amounts of mercy and grace. And every time I get closer to him, I get smaller and he gets bigger. And the gap seems to grow. Because the greater my sense of reality of who he is, the more in need I realize I am of his changing work in me. Friends, I'm not dismissing the power in the place of grace. I'm applying it. Grace doesn't say to you, you're fine, go sit up on the shelf. Grace says, thank God every single day and ask him to do a greater work in you, that he may gain more glory by doing a greater work through you. Not to earn your salvation, but to demonstrate your appreciation and your heart for him. I ask you, how intensely, how much do you really want to change? My greatest concern as a preacher, as a pastor, as a missionary, is when I see those that are tinkering on the doorsteps of death, playing with drugs, or in the midst of an illness that looks like it may be closing the door on their days. My greatest concern after those who are overtly rejecting the Lord are those who claim him and are complacent with him. It's the very essence of taking grace for granted. I'm good to go. I'm fine. Hey, back off. That's why I have grace. That's not why you have grace. And if you think so, you probably don't have it. We have grace that we can be empowered to bring him glory. And for you and me, that means we need to change. We need the Lord to change us every day. I want to share with you a classic video that speaks to this principle, and I pray that it will bless you as it then brings us to the question of how internally, how much do we want to change internally? Watch this.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. Mm-hmm. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here. That would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
Oh, the platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Okay. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust? Well,
time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you
know. That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
chisel. No, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
see, it's a process. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah. But you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away. Just be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my God. Shh.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me, then use me. Then, God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at that as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
Amen. No doubt everyone within the sound of my voice can say amen. What a beautiful portrait of the story of grace, the story of the gospel, that in Christ we can all be changed. You see, when a biblical message through a biblical messenger comes to you and calls you to change and asks you, how much do you want to change? This is an expression of grace. This is not browbeating. This is that you and I get to be more like Jesus, that he wants to draw us into a greater intimacy with him, that our junk gets in the way. And it doesn't just get in the way vertically. It can get in the way of us being applied as the instruments of his love and his grace. You see, the video is correct. You, Christian, are an original masterpiece. But note this, you are also his original mission. You are also his original missionaries. That he has a plan. We're it, church. We are plan A and there is no plan B. So if we don't want to change, we don't want to be changed, we're missing the whole point of grace and the gospel and the glory of God. It's my thought here, but you got to understand that God doesn't sanctify us to sterilize us. He doesn't sanctify us to sterilize us and put us under glass. No, he sanctifies us to multiply us, to use us. I want you to think about the Miraculous Metamorphosis series. We've been doing this now for 47 weeks. I want you to think about the changes that come through the miraculous metamorphosis of being those people who want to be all things to all people, that by all means the Lord might win some through us. What you find is when this metamorphosis, this miraculous missional metamorphosis happens, you go from being apathetic to action-oriented. You go from being selfish to service-oriented. You stop thinking about here and you live for heaven. You and I get off the temporary and we focus on the eternal. We don't look so much for what is successful, but that which is spiritful. We stop staying and we start going. We don't settle for good. We only accept God's ways. We go from the sometimes to the always. We no longer balance, but we live in obedience. We become those metamorphosis witnesses. We're the caterpillars who become the butterflies. We're the Sauls who become the Pauls. We're no longer the rich young ruler, now we're Zacchaeus. We don't look for a place to go to church. We praise God for the privilege that it is to be the church. That's all happening with the internal intrinsic changes. Do you want to see that kind of change? I pray that you do. If so, you'll embrace structural change as well. That we'll do some things differently. We'll rearrange the furniture. We'll reappoint people and times and places. We'll say yes, Lord, to what He would have. That our traditions and our structures, like our lives, would be given over to the Lord. Let me ask it to you this way. What aren't you willing to give over to the Lord? What structure, what tradition, what way do you and I want to actually look up at the Lord and say no to? How about when you think about it in the external? And I would say to you, just go to the Bible. Just look. Those that are Spirit-led are sons of God. That's what Romans 8:14 tells us. Look at the changes in the lives of the biblical accounts that you and I see. Right? Stephen, changed to death. Philip, all the disciples, really, all the apostles, martyred all but John. Look at Philip. He's one of my favorite examples. Radically changed and changing throughout his life. Paul, I mean, my goodness, what he was willing to accept in the way of change. Look at his life. And here again, let me just bring you back, because I know some are going to say, well, he's taking this out of context. That 1 Corinthians 9, that's not a command. That's just a story. That's Paul telling us the account. And it's true. And so I say to you, why do you think it's in there? And here's where we get a little bit personal. While the passage, 1 Corinthians 9:19-23, is not a command, it's telling the account of Paul. When you get to the end of this section, take a peek at chapter 11, verse 1, because this is where it gets personal. Because after this whole dialogue, Paul says, follow me as I follow the Lord. This does apply to us. And let me just point out to you, for those that would contest that, is Paul not showing us Christ? Is this desire to be all things to all people, that by all means the Lord might win some through him? Is this not the very essence of the Great Commission? Is this not what Christ showed us and called us to? Is this not at the heart of picking up your cross daily and following him? Is this not what it means to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything? Is this not a portrait of what it is to die to self and to live in faithful obedience? It is. Those are rhetorical. So I just want to ask you, with all the love in my heart, as an under-shepherd who loves you, who wants only what is best for you, I want to ask you, how much do you want to change? How much? How much of you? How much, how passionately do you want to be changed? How much do you want to change the world? How much, please, 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 ask yourself this. Take it into your prayer closet. When was the last time you asked the Lord to do whatever it takes to make you all things to all people, that by all means you might be used to win some? See, I believe when we think about the Holy Spirit and being changed, we all think about becoming more moral. We want to be more in line with the rules. I don't know that we tend to think about wanting to be used by God more. I don't know that we pray and say, Lord, make me all things, that I could be used to reach all people by all means. That prayer would require letting go of everything of who you and I are. That's what Paul demonstrated. It's what Jesus called for. It's what Jesus made clear. This is the role of the Holy Spirit and the power of his grace in us. Now, when you think about that missionally, I would say to you that you'll find 10 stages of this missional metamorphosis. It starts with God's grace and it comes back to God's glory. So don't miss that. You and I are in between. It's God's grace full circle to God's glory. But where and when we are supernaturally changed, when this is our heart's desire and the Spirit of God empowers it, what you're going to find is it starts with God's grace It comes through agape love. Christ-like love down, Christ-like love out. Third, you'll work through faithful obedience. Fourth, it will come through Christ-like humility. You and I will come to realize we don't deserve squat. And yet we've been given so much mercy and grace and love and privilege and potential. Next, and don't miss this, right smack dab in the middle, number five, it takes personal empathy. You got to see yourself as a wretch saved by grace. You got to see yourself as having gone into the abyss of an eternity without Christ. If it had not been for the grace of God putting somebody by the door to help me to know. Somebody else became all things to all people that by all means I could be reached. Do you want to be that person for somebody else? It takes an acknowledgement that we are holy works in progress. We're not perfect, but we're on our way. And we're committed to it. We don't write off the call to holiness. It comes in the context of spiritual growth, a worship-filled witness that becomes a committed person to make biblical disciples so that God will be the one who receives all the glory. The grace of God back to the glory of God. This is the spiritual metamorphosis. This is what happens in the spiritual cocoon when you go in the caterpillar and you come out the butterfly. It's all by the grace of God. It's all for the glory of God. And it has a very real purpose. We have up on the wall, and I share with you, a Bridge manifesto. For this reason, I believe with all my heart that this is what becoming all things to all people so that by all means the Lord might win and save some through us. This is what I think that looks like. And we share it with whomever else would want to be amongst those through whom the Lord reaches the world. But I say to you again, it's Acts 1:8 that gives us the faith that we share, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that as one family, we live as his witnesses, empowered by his Spirit, to go locally, regionally, and globally with one focus. It leads to the question, what do you want? As I share with you this morning, do you want to change? How much do you want to change? You see, what you want will dictate where you go and how you live. What you believe dictates how you behave. How you behave reveals what you believe. So we ask, what do you want? We make one offer, come and see. Come and see Christ. Come and see. With one promise, no matter what, all the time, truth and love. And to become those individually and together that will be, by the grace of God, all things to all people, that by all means the Lord might win some, it calls for us to respond to grace and repent of sin, to trust the Bible and obey God's word, to grow in Christ and live Spirit-led, to pray for guidance and follow by faith, to die to self and carry our cross, to be the church and love one another, truly love one another, to equip the saints and exemplify supernatural unity, to minister as ambassadors and to discern matters shrewdly without apology, to worship God vertically and experience him together horizontally, to proclaim the gospel no matter what and fish for men, to make discipled warriors and to win spiritual warfare, ultimately culminating in our commitment to love our King and serve his kingdom. Friends, this is what Jesus meant when he said, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. It's that you and I would become all things to all people, that by all means the Lord might win some. You and I can't make that happen in anybody. But I can preach the want to. And you can pray for the gift of that want to. And together, like iron sharpening iron, we can walk together through this world to the glory of God, trying to be this people. I pray that you will love the Lord enough, trust the Lord enough, want to be His enough, to pray that you too will be made all things to all people, that by all means the Lord might win some through you and me. And let anybody else who calls himself Christian know that that's the standard. That's what Jesus meant when he said, go make disciples of all nations. That's what Jesus meant when he said, you will be my witnesses, empowered by my Spirit. That's what Jesus meant when he said, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you to all. I want to leave you with one last song. It speaks to our need to trust the Lord, to lay down everything, give our lives to him. That's the pathway to becoming all things to all men, so that by all means the Lord might win some. And I want to challenge you, if you hear that and say, I don't know that I want to go that far, I want to pray with you that the Lord will give you the want to not accept anything less. Let this song, I pray, guide you through a time of personal prayer and contemplation, that we will trust him enough to lay down everything, that he can use us in any way he wants. Amen? Amen? Father, I come to you now and I ask you to do with this song and this sermon what only your Spirit can do. Lord, change us radically here today. Change us radically here today. For some, that means from being spiritually dead to, I pray, coming spiritually alive through your gospel of grace for your glory. And for others, Lord, those that are already in the family, change us radically as well. Give us the want to become all things, no matter what, to all people, no matter what. That by all means, no matter what, you might reach and save some more through us. The world around us is dying and going to hell, literally crumbling all around us. Let us champion you, our King, by your grace, through your gospel, and for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
you're taking me, but I know that you're making me like you. The old is washed away.